We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh no, that was a mistake. Oh boy. Feel sluggish. I eat more than I usually do at night, and now it's my whole body is telling me. It's almost like you take your car into the mechanic, and they start to drain the oil, and they look at it, and they say, "When was the last time you had an oil change?" Because it comes out like syrup. Well, I guess all oil's kind of syrupy. It comes out like sludge, and you say, "Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'm full of sludge right now." And what a mistake that was. I guess we'll see how the night rolls out. Maybe this will just give me a nice second kick. We're live until midnight and then the replay hours after. So here's how you reach the show. 436-7900. You can call or text that line. If you're anywhere in the United States, you may be listening from, oh, I don't know, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas. I don't know. You can call 800-925-1120. I know we have listeners all across the United States because that is the reach of KMOX at night. We had the debates last night, the Democratic debates. Now, KMOX did not have the debates. It's not that we aired them, but I tried to monitor some during our commercial breaks. And, woo, boy, fiery, to say the least. And part of the fiery, spirited debates means we had on our analysis afterwards with Rich Rubino and Kristen Arnold. They had great things to say. I want to just talk very briefly about this at the start of the show because we do have a few other things to get to at about a little over less than a half hour from now. Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding is going to join us, and we're going to talk China, and we're going to talk, is it possible China is lying to us with this coronavirus? And in general, the way we relate to China and the way that they relate information is not always the most honest. So we'll ask him about that. At the start of the next hour, Steve Shippey has a new show on the Travel Channel called Haunting in the Heartland. He goes to small towns where there's haunted houses. Oh, I love stuff like this. So we're going to talk to him in a little bit. So the candidates were out. They were doing their thing. Bloomberg this morning realized finally, here's the thing with Bloomberg. He's spending hundreds of millions of dollars. He's on his way to, what, $200 million that he's spending so far. He's spending them all on ads and not on people that should be telling him the things he should be doing. For example, maybe someone should have told him, you know, during this debate, we should try to pretend you are a, oh, I don't know, human being as opposed to a robot. You know, domo mori gatto, Mr. Roboto. Mr. Bloomberg over there needed to learn how to act. So this morning, I think someone finally told him, you know, you kind of have to address that you were terrible last night. And this is how he decides to do it.
So how was your night last night? Look, the real winner in the debate last night was Donald Trump. Because I worry that we may very well be on the way to nominating somebody who cannot win in November. And if we choose a candidate who appeals to a small base like Senator Sanders, it will be a fatal error. We need Democrats and independents and Republicans to win.
I like that he's talking like a Kennedy now. Fatal error. How did he say that again? It was
fatal error.
Era. It is. It sounds like a Kennedy. Senator Sanders. Era. 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 You know, he's not a Kennedy.
It's like Senator Sanders.
I know. You know what Chris Matthews on MSNBC said about Bernie Sanders.
You've got to get out there and say, I disagree with socialism. I believe in the markets.
Right.
I think he's wrong. I think he'll never get it done. And in this country, we'll never go that direction. And by the way, we'll lose 49 states.
49 states. They'll win California. But that's it. Whoo. Wow. So how about him going off on that? Well, the thing with Bloomberg at the start with that rally, he said, okay, I need to address the elephant in the room. How would the Kennedy say it? Address the elephant in the room. So we need to let them know that we're terrible. Yeah, we know it was pretty bad. So that's where we're at right now. And with the whole idea of the Democrats going at it last night, I talked to a couple of people inside of the office here today. And Trish Gazelle, who does our sister station just down the hall, you know, we've done some weekend shows together. I really like her. She is someone that is pretty far left compared to me, which I'm pretty far right when it comes to political leanings. And she said, oh, what a disaster that debate was last night. Oh, what a disaster. It was the worst. Oh, it couldn't have gone worse. I disagree. You know, watching it from my side, number one, it was entertaining to see the candidates chip away at each other. And that's a good thing. But number two, I tend to agree with what Kristen Arnold said on this show last night. The idea of a debate is to actually debate. What have they done? There's been 52 debates leading up to last night. And then in between, they do town halls. Debate night, town hall night, town hall night, debate night, debate night, town hall night, town hall, town hall, town hall, town hall, night off, debate. And that's basically how MSNBC and CNN has rolled out these things. And occasionally Fox even puts in a town hall with some of the candidates that accept that sort of thing. So they do their thing or whatever. And, you know, you hear the same things over and over again, and they're thinking to themselves, okay, what was the question we asked last time? Okay, we'll just ask that in a different way. Okay, then what are we going to do after this? Okay, what are we going to do after that? And it's so boring. They just stand there and, I need to make sure I say something with authority and get a little snarky. But the debate last night actually gave them the opportunity to directly address the other people on the stage. It gave them the opportunity to call out certain people, and if they were called out, those certain people were able to respond and answer appropriately. Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey, or no, you're looking at it the wrong way. Except if you're Michael Bloomberg, you're standing there with your hands, right, you know, standing at attention right against your sides, and you're thinking to yourself, maybe if I just look like a robot, like he's like, remember those Chuck E. Cheese robots, the band that was up there, and they would basically only move in a couple of different ways, and then, yeah, the animatronic band, what was it called? There was like Chuck E. Cheese, and there was the off-brand version of that. It was like the Superstar Band or whatever. And kids loved them. Adults looked at it and were creeped out by them. I think that's how people look at Bloomberg. I don't even think the kids like them. There was a name for that band. If someone knows the name of that band, text it in at 436-7900. 314-436-7900. It's like the Good Time Band. It was something like, you know, that was Michael Bloomberg last night. So if he doesn't start loosening up, man, that $150 million he spent so far in ads are going to go down the drain. We can take some of your calls coming up. And yes, we are going to talk about the coronavirus in China a little bit after 8:30 with Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's Morning News. Total information AM. Weekday mornings at 5 on KMOX and KMOX.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. So someone texted in Showbiz Pizza. So that led me to Google search Showbiz Pizza Band, which led me to Rockafire. That's so cool. But producer Mike, what are they called now? I'm trying to remember. You said they're called something else. I'm on the Wikipedia page, and as I found out, the Volo Auto Museum up in Illinois received a Rockafire explosion show, which they will put on exhibit this summer. So if anyone really wants to see it, they can drive up there. But they were called something else?
It looks like they've gone through a few name changes as ownership change, but I'm seeing that in the 80s, they were Rockafire Explosion.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a change of ownership, it says they became Munch's Make Believe Band.
Munch's?
Yeah, and a few of the characters changed.
Make Believe Bands.
I have the character names if you want to hear those.
It sounds like a terrible band name. The worst band name.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese, the mouse on vocals.
Yeah, and if you go to a Chuck E. Cheese now, I've taken my 5-year-old there. It's still a lot of fun. It's more fun than I remember when I was a kid. There's different arcade games you can buy. I don't know, it's like $20. You can play for an hour with the little card. And a kid loves it because you can play whatever game you want. And then you give all your tickets from the hour to get a kazoo. I mean, there's the terrible exchange rate. It's like you're in Venezuela. And then they do have like the Mickey Mouse. And he's in an on-air booth. He's sitting behind like a control console. And he's the robot Chuck E. Cheese. And he's got a little microphone and stuff. And he's like a DJ, like a radio DJ. It's kind of cool. All right, who else is there?
There's Helen Henny, the chicken on bass and tambourine.
Hmm.
Jasper T. Jowls, the hound dog on guitar.
Oh, Jowls, okay.
Mr. Munch, the purple and yellow monster on the keyboard.
Okay.
And Pasquale E. Pie Plate, the human pizza chef on percussion.
Pie Plate is the guy's name?
Pasquale E. Pie Plate.
Mr. Pie Plate. Sorry, I can't make it. They didn't give me the money for the pizza. I can just see the part-timer high school kid that's afraid to report to Mr. Pie Plate after someone grabs his food and doesn't pay him and he doesn't know what to do. All right, thanks, Producer Mike. Now I learned a little bit more, but apparently these things used to be out in the wild, not so much anymore. It says, Odyssey Fun World, an indoor amusement park in Naperville, Illinois, now closed. It was one of the last ones to have it. And, yeah, they're pretty much closed down. There was a documentary, it says, called The Rockafire Explosion, a documentary that talked about the fan base for these animatronic animals. It's kind of a weird thing. And some people are into weird stuff, man. You know, you go, you ever walk into someone else's basement and you look at the things that they've collected, you're like, oh, you got a full Rockafire Explosion down here. Are you creeped out or are you impressed? Oh, yeah, the Velvet Elvises. Yeah, that's a good example. I think most people are impressed. But if you have a full, like, let's say you live on a property with a lot of land and you got a barn and you open up the barn and there's a rockabilly thing set up, I think I'm more impressed. But at the same time, that's kind of the start of a horror movie, isn't it? Like, you show it, you turn it on, and it sings a song about, you know, really hardcore, we're going to chop you up, kill you type of song. And then you turn around and the owner's got a shovel in his hand, knocks you out. Next thing you know, you're in the basement of their tied up and you can't get out. See, if Hollywood is listening right now, go ahead. If you want to use that idea, just make sure to give me credit. You know what? Probably for the best. Don't give me credit. I don't want anyone knowing that originated with me. So Mardi Gras, is that going on? And they set up our room over here. We got this little kitchenette area inside of KMOX. It's kind of like a bar setting with a couple of stools if people want to eat their lunch there as opposed to eating at their desk. There's a fridge, there's a stove, there's a sink, there's a microwave, and then there's an area where it's like a open air concession stand. So it has a little barcode reader so you can pick out whatever you want. Yeah, the little mini mart, you scan it, it tells you how much it is. You can pay with a credit card. It's like the honor system. But there's like 8 cameras watching you, so it's not really the honor system, but it kind of is. And they're setting up for the Mardi Gras party. Apparently, there's going to be one of those tomorrow. And I'm going to be filling in for Mark Reardon, which should be pretty fun. So I'll be in during the day, so which means I might actually get lunch out of it tomorrow. Maybe they bring in something. But I keep hearing about King Cakes. King Cakes. I've never heard of King Cakes until I moved down here. Is that a popular thing in St. Louis? Is this something that most people do? They celebrate and they put little figurines or whatever inside of the cake? To me, it's so foreign. I've never once in my life grown up outside Detroit thought that was a big deal or anything. However, during this week, Fat Tuesday was always big time celebrated in our area. Everyone got punchkis. Like my friend who ran, they had a family-run bakery. This is one of their busiest weeks of the entire year because, man, they prepare for this and they make punchkis and punchkis and punchkis because everyone buys them, brings them into their work, brings them into school. Like punchki day at school, you know, people would buy them and eat them during class. Everyone would have them. People would have them at the house. Anywhere you look, there's punchkis everywhere. I think we talked about this last year. I think Schnucks sells punchkis. But I've never once thought, I got to go get me a king cake because I didn't even know those existed. Why do you eat something with a little toy inside? I don't get that either. Like, what's the appeal of that? Is that a little bit weird too? I don't like it. If someone told me there's a chance that you're going to bite into this and there's going to be a little army man toy inside of it, that's what I think of them. I think of it's like the army men, the little green guys that you'd go outside and play in the sandbox. Yeah, we're going to hide an army man in there and You know, who knows if that thing's been washed since last year, but we kept it in the junk drawer and we've been waiting to use this bad boy. Throw it in there. It's like Russian roulette of food. I do risk the things I eat on a regular basis. Don't get me wrong. I'm not afraid to take a walk on the wild side when it comes to food, but I'm not thinking to myself, yeah, you know, let me try one of those crown cakes. Why don't you bake in an army man into that cake? But I'm sure there's a lot of people that do enjoy that. Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding is going to join us in a few minutes, and he's someone that looks at relations between the United States and China, and he's actually really good when it comes to these sort of topics, and we've had him on the show in the past. I think the last time we had him on, it was talking about trade deals with China. Now, things have changed on the trade front. Things have changed mostly because there is at least a preliminary deal on the table between the United States and China, but the thing I'm more interested in is talking about how China operates as a country when it comes to releasing information. Is it possible that they're purposely lying to us about this coronavirus? Is it possible that the coronavirus is much more dangerous than we think? Is it possible that there's much more victims in people who have died in China or those who have quarantined, and China's just not leading us on in the right way? I don't know. It could be all of those things. So we'll ask him about that. You know, and the Thursday show is always a little bit more flexible. So if there's something you want to talk about, you can. If you really want to talk about Rockefeller explosion, I guess you can too, because you may have some great memories of those things. Those are pretty great days. You know, when someone in your class had a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese, that was a pretty awesome day. Like, you look forward to that. It was fun going to kids' houses and playing at the houses or whatever it was. But when someone said you're going to Chuck E. Cheese, you thought, I'm going to buy a calendar, or at least beg my parents to get me one. I'll put it up in my room, and there's only going to be one date I care about. It's the Chuck E. Cheese day. I'll circle it, and I'll X off days until that comes, and there it is. So we'll bring our guest on next. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
You know, thanks for hanging out with us tonight on Overnight America. It's the last show of the week, Thursday night show for Overnight America. I'm actually filling in for Mark Reardon tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. And you could listen, if you do listen to KMOX during the day, make sure to tune in at 2 o'clock. It'll be fun. I'm sure it will. He's the author of Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We've had him on the show in the past. It's probably been a few months since then. He's now retired, but Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding, I'm glad we can come in and talk tonight on Overnight America. Thanks for coming on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Brigadier General. I messed this up last time you were on, too. I worked with a company that was called Brigadoon, and for whatever reason in my mind, it supersedes what is coming out of my mouth. So I apologize for saying it wrong there. The way China is right now, you have a lot of study into the way China operates. And we look at what's coming out of China right now, which is the coronavirus. There's a lot of people afraid. They're looking at this as a worldwide issue because of the people traveling in and out of that country. They go in and possibly could infect people of where they go after they leave China. We have people that are being quarantined. We have people that are dying because of this. And China, it seems like they're downplaying it. And I wanted to talk to you about how China normally operates. Do you believe there's a chance China is not being honest with the way they're handling the news coming out of their country with this coronavirus?
Well, I mean, that's easy to say yes, because they're not honest about anything. You know, if you remember when they the PLA Navy did a port call in Australia, they had videotape of all the sailors loading up the ship with baby formula that they bought in the supermarket in Australia. If you go to Beijing today, the U.S. Embassy in Beijing puts out the air quality readings for what the air quality is in Beijing. And that's what all the people of Beijing rely on. In China, the Chinese don't trust the food safety. They don't trust anything because, quite frankly, and the reason those sailors were getting formula is because the people that were making baby formula in China put additives in it that made a lot of the babies sick, and a lot of them died. And so this is a challenge in China because the Chinese Communist Party has created this really this kind of laissez-faire attitude towards how you get wealthy in China, and it's really just a make money at all cost system, and it doesn't take into account food security or labor standards or environmental standards. And when you go there, you find that the land and the air and the water is completely polluted. In fact, when I lived there in 2002, you know, after the first year, I had developed liver spots on my hands and my hair was falling out. All of that stuff is just, just indicates that, you know, you can't really trust what the government says, because in all these things, they put out numbers that you can't depend on.
You know, there's a few things that have been said about this coronavirus, and we've seen certain people here, some of them saying that this doesn't look good, the way that the outbreak started, being close to this one biological lab. You know, it doesn't look good that they're trying to hide this information. It certainly doesn't look good the way this is spreading. There's some certain ways to look at this virus and study this virus and realize this may even look man-made. But then at the same time, very quickly, you'll find different newspapers like the New York Times or whatever saying that these are more or less conspiracy theories. There's no evidence for this sort of thing. But I want to default back to what we know already about China. Would you put it past them for trying to manufacture something and then lie about it? And then at the same time, have other people try to cover it up because they, you know, don't want to believe it?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, in addition to the things that I was stating before, a Chinese genetics researcher genetically modified, fertilized eggs to create an HIV resistant set of twins that were born. So, I mean, the challenge is that there's so much going on in that country that you can't be sure about. It's really difficult to say and really difficult to trust, because that's the regime that the Chinese Communist Party has established.
Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding joining us here, and you can check out his book, which is called Stealth War: How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. And since we already have this relationship with China, and it's kind of a love-hate relationship if you think about it, but there's a lot of things that we are very skeptical in the way China operates. Do you think we'll ever be able to fully trust them as another country?
No, and I think, as long as the Chinese Communist Party is ruling China, and what they do is they rule the Chinese people as subjects. You know, there's two constitutions in China. One constitution covers what everybody considers to be the official government of China, the People's Republic of China. But then there's another constitution that is for the Chinese Communist Party. And if you look at the way the country's run, the constitution that governs the Chinese Communist Party represents the sovereign for the country. And so the Chinese Communist Party rules the Chinese people like subjects. Essentially, they have no rights. There is no rule of law. The law is whatever the Chinese Communist Party says it is. Of course, the People's Republic of China, you know, that essentially acts as a veneer of a government, has a judicial system. It has courts. But essentially what happens is the Chinese Communist Party determines, you know, what your punishment's going to be. And then that just that punishment gets meted out in a court. So they can do essentially extrajudicial detention for as long as they want. Of course, if you look at the two Canadians, one former diplomat and the other Canadian that have been held since Meng Wanzhou has been indicted and has been going through extradition hearings. It's been over a year now that they've essentially been held in extrajudicial detention and essentially subject to what is the equivalent of torture. So this is the regime in China, and this is a regime that has concentration camps and forced organ harvesting and all sorts of things that, you know, rank right up there with what the Nazis did and what the Stalinist Soviet Union did. So it's a horrendous regime, but yet you have people like Michael Bloomberg who say that she's not a dictator. And, you know, there's so many people in this country that believe that China is a democracy, and it's really because they don't understand the regime.
Yeah, and there's another big part of this, too. You look at the way they restrict speech in China. You look at the way that some of these big tech companies bow down to them because they're afraid to take away, you know, the potential of billions of people and dollars, you know, marketing. So you have instances where people in China are really discouraged from talking negatively against their own country, which is one of the reasons why you'd wonder, okay, if they were living in China and they were witnessing these things, why wouldn't they be screaming and letting everyone else know that this is nonsense? Well, because not only would they have some of their, you know, and I put freedoms in quotations when you're talking about China, there's some of the things that they are allowed to do unrestricted, taken away from them. They wouldn't be, you know, they take travel, they take the ability to get jobs, see family members, things like that scare them to death when they hear about these quarantines where they lock them inside away from everyone else they know. And in some cases, you're hearing instances where, you know, adults are being taken away from people that are dependent of them. So taken away from kids, people with disabilities are dying because they don't have anyone to take care of them because, you know, whoever was is somewhere else and no one else is picking it up, you know, and they're worried that, you know, maybe I won't be able to eat. I won't be able to see my family. So I better not say anything. You know, there's all of these different pressures that China uses, and there's all of these, it's really lousy what they do and the way they captivate their population in order to try to keep them obedient to the country, even when there's some very dangerous things that need to get out and the alarm bell should be spread right about now. I wonder, too, when you look at China as a country and the way that they continue to operate, do you believe there's going to be a point where they're going to have to tell the truth on this, or do you feel like they would keep it a secret to the bitter end?
No, they. I mean, this is essentially what they do. They keep it a secret till the bitter end. And, you know, one of the things that you find in Eastern Europe, you know, for decades, the Polish people believed and they were told by the Soviet Union that the Nazis killed 20,000 Polish military officers and officials in the forest. And you know, once the Soviet Union fell after the end of the Cold War and the archives were opened up, what they found out that actually it was the Soviets that had killed them. And so these totalitarian regimes tend to be very, very secretive. And, you know, as it is with the Chinese Communist Party, you never know what's going on there. And every once in a while, you'll get a glimpse. So these 400 pages of documents on the Uyghurs that was released to the New York Times is one example. The Tiananmen papers that really were leaked after the Tiananmen massacre, document number 9, which is another document that essentially describes how the Chinese Communist Party views the universal freedoms that, you know, exist in the United States and in other democracies and really want to suppress them. All of these documents really escaped, but there are, you know, for every document that escapes, there's millions more that we would just never know until the regime collapses.
Wow. How do you get ahead of something like this? If you're the United States and a government that's trying to combat things coming out of China. In this case, it's the coronavirus. But, you know, who knows? 6 months from now, it could be something different. If you're trying to get ahead and combat and they're not actually playing ball, they're not being forthright, in some cases, just flat out lying about the situation and the way it is, how does the United States even handle itself when we know there's so many unknowns?
Well, I mean, what we did during the Cold War is essentially we didn't allow the Soviet Union to have access to our society, to our economy, to our technology, to our capital, you know, our retirement funds. And essentially, we've given China access to all of those. And not only have they, you know, used those, they've really taken advantage to a point where, you know, we've lost so much economic productivity. We've invested so much of our savings in building their society. We've given them our science and technology. We've really given them a lot of our best scientists in terms of, you know, like the head of the chemistry department at Harvard, you know, the 100 professors at Texas A&M that are all working for the Chinese Communist Party. And at the same time, like the Harvard professor, are working for the Pentagon. And so we're giving them our research. We're giving them our science and technology, our innovation. Companies like Facebook and Amazon and Google have artificial intelligence research centers in China, helping them build their artificial intelligence. And so this is the difference between how we treated the Soviet Union as a totalitarian regime and how we treat the Chinese Communist Party, because there was a belief that if we just treated them well and helped them grow in power and economic prosperity, that they would become more like us. And in fact, you know, they've done very well, as is the what they did with the NBA, in actually making us more like them by using their power, their economic and financial relationships with our corporations and our banks and Wall Street to essentially coerce them into suppressing speech and being, you know, increasingly repressive in terms of how they deal with the globalized world.
Yeah, and even look at how it is in pop culture. Just, what, a month ago, the NBA was talking about it. There's all ongoing protests because the people don't like the way they're being treated. NBA still considering and still hosting games out there. And then you have some of the biggest stars like LeBron James in the world, you know, siding with the way China does business. And you wonder and you scratch your head and you think, you got to be kidding me with something like this. You know, do you mind holding on after the break? I got a couple more questions for you.
Sure, absolutely.
Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding joining us. And if you want to check out his book, you should. And you look it up, go to Amazon, a good place, or do a quick Google search for him. Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. The name of the book, Stealth War. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday night. Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding is our guest up until we get to news here at 9. His book called Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about China in the sense of what you think we could be doing about them. So since the last time we spoke, President Trump has at least made a deal with them. A first stage of it has been announced, and it looks like there are some first steps being done there. You also see President Trump looking at how we're going to take better advantage of our financial future. You know, we look at the energy independence, for example, and how powerful that's been for the United States to move in that direction. You mentioned the financial side of things. If we can start looking at our financial independence so we're not reliant on a bunch of foreign debt, and we know what China's done over the years too, that would be a great step. And it looks like they're trying to move in that direction. That's at least encouraging. I'm wondering what you think we should be doing with China moving forward so we're not so reliant on them.
Yeah, so what happened a little over a year ago now, Morgan Stanley Capital International, which is an indexing service, which essentially tells institutional investors like retirement funds and university endowments how they should place their money in markets, not just domestically, but overseas, began to tell them that they should put 20% of their emerging markets, which are really developing economies, investments into China. And when they did that, they did it because what was happening due to the tariffs, the Chinese were running out of U.S. dollars. And so they needed more dollars to buy energy, food, and raw materials. And so they convinced them to move many of our retirement funds into Chinese stocks. And that amounted to almost $400 billion that moved into China over the last year. And so that is one of the biggest things that I think the United States could do to really gain back our financial independence, because that's $400 billion that could have been invested in businesses that were essentially trying to carve back a lot of our manufacturing capability that we lost to China. You know, I was talking to a company today that's trying to bring back rare earth metals into the United States. Of course, China controls 90% of the rare earth metals, and those are used to make many of our, or most of our electronics. And in fact, the Chinese used the fact that they had a monopoly on rare earth metals to punish the Japanese by restricting the sale of rare earth metals to them when they got into a spat. I think it was over the East China Sea. And so this is a challenge we face today. We are so economically beholden. We're so trade beholden because so much of the supply chain has moved to China. And now increasingly we're sending our U.S. dollars over there from our retirement accounts. And my fear is that we're not going to get a lot of that money back because they have a non-convertible currency and strict capital controls. Mm-hmm. And so it's really putting Americans' retirement future in jeopardy by sending all this money over there. So I'm hopeful that they're gonna make a change on that soon.
You know, the manipulation of currency and $400 billion, I didn't realize that. And something with the rare earth metals, you look at how we're moving, and at least the auto industry relies on that in order to make those batteries for the cars. So with them and all of the auto companies really pumping out these electric cars and the Teslas of the world, you know, gaining value just exponentially, they continue to grow. There's a demand for this sort of thing. That's where they come from. I had no idea they controlled the market on that. And that's a pretty big deal if we're thinking about expanding our technological horizons here in the United States. That's scary, though. I've never heard that we have invested $400 billion in when it comes to our stock, or excuse me, our retirement funds back into China. That is so scary. That is so risky and scary at the same time. It shocks me that so many people in the ability to make those decisions would be doing that to our funds. Wow.
This is really going to shock you then, because not only is that going on, but the Thrift Savings Board, which really represents the retirements of active military in the United States, the board last year voted to send the active military retirements also to China. And the companies that they're sending them to are companies like Aviation Industry Corporation of China, which is one of the largest defense contractors and makes the fighters that essentially our military faces. Mm. And so our military's retirements are going to build Chinese weapons that they have to face in places like the South China Sea. That's just how incredibly, ridiculous this relationship has become.
Man, and the sad thing is, how many presidents over and over and over again just did not want to face China, and they just continued to let them go about their ways and continue to make things worse for us. I mean, at least you got to give credit to President Trump, and I think most people that dislike him will at least give him credit that he's standing up against China. They may not like the way he's doing it, but this is well overdue. And it's so far down the line, you wonder if it's just one of those irreversible courses. How could you get a leg up on China anymore? I mean, they have turned themselves into this beast. And the sad, I forgot what the phrase is, but it's basically, you become reliant on your master. And at this point, it feels like we've handed over so many different keys to them that they're just, manipulating and controlling our fate. It's miserable to have this sort of feeling. So, it scares me. When you wrote your book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept, there's probably a lot of things you learned about them, too, that you had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this is, so to be honest with you, I lived there for 2 years from 2002 to 2004 and really fell in love with the people and the history and the culture. And it was a wonderful experience living there. But that's because I really had no understanding of the regime, the Chinese Communist Party, what they did. Of course, I did talk to a lot of businessmen that were losing their businesses or losing their technology by doing business there. But, you know, I thought that, you know, that naivety would eventually go away and we would learn to be better at negotiating with them. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. What's happened instead is we've just continued to pour money and technology into them because our own, essentially corporate reporting system is based on quarterly reports. And usually the executives there are 3 to 5 years. And so all they really care is about getting their vested, stock options and leaving. And so in the Chinese, of course, because the entire system is ruled by the Chinese Communist Party, they have more of a long-term vision. That, all that being said, I think there's a couple of things. There's actually three things that I consider to be black swan events for the Chinese Communist Party that mm-hmm. they've experienced in really quick succession. One, you mentioned already, the Trump administration. The other is the protests in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And finally, the third is the coronavirus. So this really gives us an opportunity to think about what we've been doing and reset the relationship. Of course, the Trump administration has already begun to do that. And then also begin to invest that money, the money that we should have been investing in America, back into our manufacturing, our infrastructure, in science and technology development and STEM education. If we begin to do that, then I think we begin to essentially cut off access to a lot of our technology and capital and innovation.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be fine.
Well, if people wanted to find Stealth War, where can they find it?
At Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, all the major book retailers. And it has been well received. It hasn't been highly advertised, but just the word of mouth sales have pushed the book sales up over 14,000 copies.
Oh, that's
really good for
awesome.
A book like this.
Congratulations on that. Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding, thank you for coming on and talking China with us on Overnight America.
Thank you so much.
Do go to Amazon. Do look up Stealth War. And if you want to educate yourself on the manipulation coming out of China, it's a great place to find it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.